Open your Bibles, Luke chapter 11, Title of the message this morning, Woe Unto the Hypocrite. Woe unto the hypocrite. Talking about the impact of false religious leaders and how that any of us, you know, if you're saved this morning or you even come to church, you are a religious leader of some sort. You're representing something when it becomes to the things of the Lord. Let's read Luke chapter 11, verse 37. Luke chapter 11, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. This is quite a rebuke by Jesus to the religious leaders. And it says in verse 37, And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. Come eat with me, Jesus. And he, Jesus, went in and sat down to meat. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. So some of you that don't wash your hands, you are in good company. I would suggest that you wash your hands before you eat, but Jesus is saying it's not the main thing, Maybe that's why you don't get sick as often, so you don't wash your hands. It's a good idea. It's a good idea to wash your hands, but Jesus didn't. Look at verse 38. And when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Verse 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also. This is so funny. It's right in the middle. This guy says, Master, I know you didn't want to offend us. We're just letting you know. This is a little much. You know, so it's you're reproaching us also, and of course you wouldn't want to do that. So look at verse 45 in that. Then answered one of the lawyers, this would be one of the doctors of the law of God, and said unto him, Master, thus saying thou reproachest us also in Jesus' terms. And he said, Woe unto you! Woe unto you also, ye lawyers! For ye laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres, your fathers' sepulchres. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Verse 52. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in you hindered. And as he said these things unto them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge him vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things. Here's why. Laying wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. Again, title of the message, Woe Unto the Hypocrite. Let me give you just a little background. Hypocrite, truly a true hypocrite. A hypocrite, and so I want you to know this. Every person in this room, we can have hypocrisy. But when the Bible calls somebody a hypocrite, he's calling them a lost person. Jesus is. So these were the Pharisees were the false religious leaders. The Sadducees, the scribes, they were part of the false religion as well. they had religion and it was all about rules. And they were just causing all kinds of problems. But here's what I want you to make sure of this. We're going to look at the issues with religious people. And I would suggest that's all of us in this room. And so these religious leaders took these things to extremes. But I want you to know this. These are going to be weaknesses of our flesh. If you and I aren't careful, we can fall into the same pattern as these religious leaders that Jesus was rebuking. But to be clear, if you're a hypocrite this morning, you are not on your way to heaven. You understand the difference? It's a hypocrite is you are representing one thing, but you live completely differently. These religious leaders were saying, we're right with God. And Jesus called them whited sepulchers. He said, your graves, and men aren't even aware when they're walking over the graves, and that's what you are, your graves. And so I just challenge you this morning, right? Are you truly who you say you are? You know, most people that come to church, if you're in a Baptist church in particular, you would say, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. Are you? Everybody says that. I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. What about your heart? See, it's so important. Don't worry about anybody else. That's what the hypocrites worry about. They worry about what you're doing, 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 because you know what? I'm just as good as you. And we don't say those words, but that's why we point out everybody else's flaws. And Jesus was helping them understand that there's a major issue here. So here's how it starts. Look at this in verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And I don't think this Pharisee had good motives, because you'll see at the end, look at the end in verse 54. They were laying wait for him, for Jesus, and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. And so Jesus goes to this Pharisee's house to have dinner. And it's, look at verse 38. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, the Bible talked about washing your hands and being clean, but they added so much to this. And Jesus, look at verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? They were worried about appearance. And so here's the first thought. It's one of our weaknesses if you're not careful. We worry about more what others see versus what God sees. We live more for what you think about me than what God already knows. It's a great issue. Let me tell you, people use people in this room, people use me, as I fail, as reasons why they want nothing to do with God. We ought to, if we're truly believers, we ought to be humble. We ought to be quick to ask for forgiveness, quick to make things right. But if truth be known, we fall into this so easily, we're worried more about what you think than what God already knows. You see, we're worried about the outside appearance more than we worry about the heart. If we spent as much time showering and hygiene and fixing our hair and all of that kind of stuff, as if we spent that much time pursuing God, we would be closer to God. I'm glad you took a shower. I'm glad you fixed your hair. I'm not criticizing that. But I will tell you this, we shortchange the Lord. We're so worried about what people see and what people think. Look at what Jesus says in verse 9. Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter? Man, you're looking good, polished, looking good on the outside. He says, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. He says, you fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? I'm going to combine verse 44 because I think it's just so fascinating. He says this, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. It is actually in Numbers chapter 19, we won't turn there, that if you were to come in contact with the grave, you would be unclean for 7 days. And Jesus is saying, you guys are so worried about following all the list of rules that aren't even in the Bible. You've got your rules, but you guys are graves, and men walk over them, and they don't even know it, and they're unclean because of you. You're worried about my hands. I don't know if they even knew the word germs and all the bacteria and all that God has allowed through microscopes and all this to be discovered. But he said, you guys are worried about that. And he said, you're making people unclean as they come in contact with you. It's a great rebuke. But understand this. I think we should be concerned about what people think. We should. But I don't think that should be our motive, right? We should have a testimony. We should have a testimony that I love God. That's great to see Alex's friend here. One, we were not sure if he had a friend, but no, it's great. Luis is here, and I looked at Luis last night. I looked at him, and I said, has something changed about Alex? Not that he's perfect, and I've just put him on the spot. I trusted that you would say, I don't know. Not really. But something's changed. Something's changed. And it's because once we truly know Jesus Christ, we don't become perfect, but our testimony should reflect that Jesus has changed us. Do you understand that? I should be concerned about how I represent Christ, but I shouldn't be concerned about how I appear to you. You understand the slight difference? I need to have a testimony, but not live for what you think. I've got to honor Christ. That's what life's all about. But all the Pharisees cared about is how they looked in public, how they appeared in public, how they represented themselves. Because they were politicians. And they just cared what you thought because they needed your support. You see, I want to tell you this. We should have a testimony. And this is so dangerous. If you live for what other people expect, and that's your driver for life, you will be miserable. I've known people that way. Now, I'm a people pleaser. Isn't that so obvious? You guys. Okay, I'm not. You know, just so you know that I'm not a people pleaser, I do like people to like me, so that's good, right? So it's not like non-people pleasers, right? But let me tell you, you people pleasers, it's God's gift to you. So you need to be thankful for the gift God's given you. But I will tell you, it can also be your curse. Follow me? That you're just friendly and you like to please people and you like to serve people and you like to help people. But if that is your motive, you will become miserable. Because all of a sudden you're a servant and you're a slave to other people's opinion. And how can you make them happy? How can you serve them? I'm telling you, if you can take that God's made you a people pleaser and you can submit that to Jesus Christ and you can say, how can I help you in the name of the Lord? And you don't have to say that in the name of the Lord, but if your motive is that you want to please people and you want to encourage people and you want to help people for the honor and the glory of Christ, oh, that's a blessing. But I've watched it. I've watched it. My youngest daughter, her name's Abigail, and it means source of joy. And she met that name all of our lives. And she never seemed pressured because Abby was just Abby. She was always happy. You know, she's the person that somebody actually asked her. They walked up to her and said, why are you always happy? And eventually, she just almost broke. Because she started living for other people's expectations. And it was too much. I'm telling you, you see, the Pharisees, they weren't living to please people. They were living for their own selves. But I want to tell you, if you're not careful, we all can lapse into this. It must be driven by Christ. Why do we do what we do? Why are you living? If it's not for Jesus Christ, your life is empty. It'll be empty. See, the Pharisees, they were more worried about what people saw versus what God saw. Second thing I want you to do, look at verse 41 and 42. So Jesus, look at verse 40. He says, you fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which was in also? He's telling them, God knows your heart. God knows what you're thinking. God knows what your life is. Why don't you just be honest? And rather than worry about what everybody else thinks, why don't you just get that old heart right with God? Look at verse 41 and 42. He says, but rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. He's just saying this. You know, alms, it would be a form of charity. He's just, give of yourself, your time, treasure, and your talent. Give of yourself. Give alms. Give of that which you have. And he says, and behold, all things are clean unto you. He said this, just let it come from within. And he says this in verse 42. He says, but woe unto you, Pharisees. You tithe, that's a 10%, of mint and rue and all manner of herbs. It's, the Bible does talk in the Old Testament that they would tithe off of their agriculture, of their first fruits. But the rue and the mint, they were just herbs that they would grow. You know, some of you guys grow herbs at your house today, right? I mean, you know, like a little pot or something, and you let the sun get it, you know. And so what they would do, letter of the law, they would, oh, okay, I've got, I don't know. They would figure out what a tenth was. They were focused on the minor details, and they were focused on the, I've got to do this. And they missed it. Look what Jesus says in verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs. You got the rules down. And you pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought you have done, and not to leave the other undone. I do want you to note this. He says this, obedience is important. But you know what's more important than obedience? Is focusing on the judgment and love of God. Let me help you understand that, the judgment and love of God. I read a lot of commentators, and they said, well, it's justice. Well, maybe, but it's never translated justice. Here's why I'm convinced. The main message of the Bible is the judgment and love of God. That's the twofold message of the Bible. It's sin is what brings judgment, and the only way that we can overcome the judgment of God is by the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Understand this. If you focus on the do's and don'ts of Christianity, and there's things you shouldn't do if you're a Christian. There's things you should do as a Christian. But if it's not rooted in the love of God, then I will tell you, it gets old real fast. Why do we do what we do? You see, you can follow all, you can become a Baptist of Baptists. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You know, you can be here every time the doors are open, and I think that's good. But if all you're doing is following the rules because you're worried about what other people will think, if you're not here, all those things, and you miss the love of God, it will become old real fast. And you'll be one of these people that I meet when I go through the neighborhood, and they'll say, I used to go to church. And I don't ask this, but you know, they'll tell me why they stopped sometimes. But why did they stop? Well, I'll tell you why they stopped. Because, let's just say this. Let's say Hope Baptist Church. Let's say I become just an evil man. I began to preach hate, and I began to preach things that aren't in the Bible. Then, you know what? You guys should fire me and get rid of me. You know, that's what you should do. Absolutely. You should love me and try to see if I can get right with God and do things that are well, but if I refuse, you should get rid of me. But let's just say I'm a tyrant, I'm a dictator, and I kind of rule in such a way that I overcome the people. Then you know what? Maybe you shouldn't go to Hope Baptist Church. Hope Baptist Church becomes a bad church. You should try to restore it and make it right and not be so quick to leave. But I'll tell you this, there comes a point at times that you might say, you know, I don't know if I can stay at Hope Baptist Church much longer because that preacher's bad. But you know what? I should never run into you one day and find out, well, you know, my preacher was bad, so I don't go to church anymore. No, what you should do is you should find another church that you can serve in, because that's God's ways if you understand the Bible. But let me tell you why you'll quit. You forgot how much God loves you. And you forgot how bad you were. You see, if we truly understand this, the judgment and the love of God, it is, last night I just had a Bible study. It was just awesome. I mean, not because I was teaching it, but I you guys allowed me just to remember how good God was. Because I got to, you know, Luis, it was the first time he had come last night to our Bible study. And Luis, it refreshed my heart. You know, this it refreshed my heart to just be able to tell somebody how good God's been to me and how bad I am. And it just reminded me of, oh, what I deserve. And you know this, there's nothing in me that would cause God to love me, but it's His goodness, it's His mercy, it's His grace that God would love me. You see, I want to tell you, on my worst day, God has saved me. On my worst day, God loves me. On my worst day, I can be made right with Him, and I can serve Him. And on my worst day, now that I'm born again, now that I'm saved, I'm a child of God. I'm an heir to the King. You know, I told Luis, because he was new to my life, I said, you know what my best day is going to be? He didn't know. I said, the day I die. And he's like, wow, man, thanks for being so encouraging. And because it only gets better for me. As long as I live, the only reason to be excited about life is Jesus Christ. You know why? Because He loves me. The love of God. You know what will happen? You know what will cause you to forget the love of God? When you start focusing on people and their problems. See, the Pharisees did. The Pharisees all, they could point out everybody's problem, but their own heart was so far. They would tithe on rue and mint, all these herbs, and Jesus is like, you know, you're taking it to the minutia level. I'm always worried about the heart, and you guys, you've forgotten about the judgment and the love of God. You've forgotten about what you deserve. You've forgotten about how bad you were. You've forgotten about how good God is, because God owed you nothing. It was His mercy that He sent His Son. It was all driven by love. You know, I want you to remember this. There is always somebody that loves you, and it's God. But remember this. God can't ignore your sin. You see, God must deal with your sin if you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ. If you haven't truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you leave God no choice, but He has to address your sin. You see, it's by faith, grace through faith, that we're saved. You see, Jesus told them, they were all about the rules. They were tithing on the herbs, sitting on their counter windowsill. And He said, you guys, you got the details, but you've missed the love of God. Let me tell you, if you serve the Lord because you are reminded how good He loves you, remember this, everything comes down to this. Love the Lord with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. If you and I just focus on this, I want to love God. I want to focus on His love for me. If that is your obsession, if that is your desire, is that your purpose and your pursuit, your life will be effective for Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that. Do not forget this. We're going to go into some detail in this scripture today. This is the important message. Do not forget the judgment and the love of God. We deserve the judgment of God, but for His love. But for His love. But for the love of God, I know why I'm here. I know every day that I get up. Why? Why do I live today? It's for the love of God. God loves me. I want to just honor Him. I want to serve Him. And there's going to be things happen today that are just, I'm not going to like it. What am I going to do? If I focus on the circumstances, if I focus on the issue, then my love for God will wane. When my love for God wanes, I become a religious tyrant. I become a guy that's just focused on rules. Here's what I would tell you. You know what I tell you? Go to church if you don't feel like it. Do what's right if you don't feel like it. But I'll tell you this, you need to ask God, oh God, give me a love for what you've told me to do. Right? So I'm not preaching today that if you don't love God and feel like it, then don't worry about it, don't do it. I'm just saying, do what God's told you to do. But what you need to do you love doing what God's told you to do? Or is it grievous? Is it burdensome? Is it overwhelming? Are you bored that you have to sit through another sermon today? I don't think we've got a lot of those here, right? I think most of you are here, but I love this. Somebody just told me this the other day, and it was so honest, and they said, I'm only coming because I get to be with my friends. I was like, man, that's honest. Are you only here for the social? The social will get old. And so you know what I would suggest? One day you won't go to church because those friends probably won't be your friends anymore. You know how many real friends you have? How many real friends do you have outside of this church, Randall? Not many, right? How many real friends do you have, Ron, outside of this church? A lot? Yeah, in other churches, right? So it's only through Christ, right? It's only through Christ. It is, the reality is, if you're just coming for the social, somebody's going to do something, you're like, I'm not into that anymore, I'm out of here. False religious leaders, false religion, because we've missed this. I want to encourage you with this. Every day you should reflect on the goodness of God. How good God's been to you. How much, because of Christ, you won't receive the judgment of God. Jesus, look at this, verse 42, and I'll move on. But woe unto you, Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and Passover judgment and the love of God. These ought you to have done and not to leave the other undone. Let me talk to the dads here. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. Get your kids to obey. You have kids? No, okay. I'm just getting to know you guys. No kids. That's right. The future kids, right? But it's this. Here's what I'm going to tell you to do. Dads, are you focused so much on the do's and don'ts and you're not focused on the love of God and the judgment of God? I want you to understand this. It's important. Teach your kids to obey. You're teaching your kids to submit to authority. That's good. But if all you're doing is teaching them what is right and what is wrong, and you're missing the judgment of God and the love of God and explaining to them, here's why it matters. In every conversation I have, why does it matter that I treat my wife well when she doesn't deserve it? And she deserves it most of the time, I'm not saying that. But why does it matter? The honor of Christ. Why does it matter what I think about? You ain't going to know what I'm thinking about. You barely know what's going on in your own head. That's not me picking on you. I could have said that to anybody. And Stephen's like, was that personal? Yes, it was. No. But it's like this. Why does it matter what I think on, Noah? The honor of Christ. Noah, if all that I care about is how it will impact me, I'm ignorant of how bad sin is. But you see, it's the honor of Christ. That's why it all matters. That's why it matters. It's what is my motive? What is my desire? It matters because Christ matters. Are you only worrying about what people know? What people see? It's a matter of the heart. Third thing I want you to see is they love the preeminence. Look at this, verse 43. Woe unto you, Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Man, they love the preeminence and the praise of men. You know, of the love languages, maybe you don't know the love languages. One of them is words of affirmation, and that's my love languages on steroids, right? So my wife's is acts of service, and so she's a little deficient on words of affirmation, but I'm deficient on acts of service, so we make up for not to properly loving each other. You know, so the best way I could love her is acts of service, right? When are you done? That's my only question for you acts of service people. But it's words of affirmation. That's the worst love language you could have as a preacher. It's why I tell you, don't compliment my servants. I'll agree with you. It is, so some of you have to think about that for a while, right? But it is, just tell me this. And I love, you guys have learned. Say, God used that message today. You see, life's not about me. I better not love the praise of men. You know, if I love the praise of men, I'm going to preach for your praise. I'm not preaching for your ire either. and for your disdain, but I better not preach so that you leave happy. I need to preach what the Bible says. That's why I love expositional preaching, verse by verse. I'm preaching this message because it's the next verse, and I believe that's what God would have us to have. It's this: we've got to be careful of loving the preeminence. We don't have deacons in our church. I'm not opposed to deacons. But here's the reality. Deacons will be deacons without the office. They're just servants. People say, when are we going to have deacons? Well, that first church in Acts chapter 6, they probably had 25,000 plus members. I said, when we get 25,000 people, I'll get our first 7 deacons. But here's the reality. Deacons are deacons before they're ever named deacons because they're servants at heart. Because they just want to serve. You know why? They're not interested in the preeminence. People told me when I started this church, they said, never get deacons. They said, all it'll do is it's what happens to us. It's a flaw that we have. It's that we get a position, all of a sudden, we want to make it, we love the preeminence. We love the power. And we take on things that aren't scriptural. Again, I'm not opposed to deacons, but what I've learned is deacons, people will serve that have a deacon's heart. Here's when I'll have deacons. When people are complaining enough, don't start complaining a lot, but when people are complaining that your needs aren't being met. And you can tell me that. That's when we'll have deacons. And so we'll make it clear the deacons have no authority. I have no authority. I have incredible influence. People confuse that with authority. I don't have authority. I have incredible influence. I want you to know this, that it's not authority. I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you what God says. I can tell you what I believe God would want you to do, but I don't have authority, neither would deacons. But here's where we would ever have deacons, is if the needs of the people aren't being met and it would distract me from the ministry of the word and prayer. You guys are a super kind church to me, and I take it to an extreme versus a lot of other people. My main focus of this ministry is teaching the Bible, and you allow me to do that. And it can be you sacrifice some because of that, but I don't really want you to sacrifice. I love you. Just tell me. Say, I'd like you there. You know, Sister Carla's having surgery on December 31st. I can be at the hospital at 8 o'clock. You'd like me to come to your hospital before you have surgery? Just tell me. Just tell me. Don't tell everybody else when I didn't and then complain about it. If you want me there, I'll be there. Just tell me. I want to love you. I love you. But sometimes I get too busy. But that's when we'd have deacons. But understand this, we have to be super careful that we don't love the praise of men and the preeminence. It's not about that. It's about Christ. True Christianity is less of me and more of him. I love verse 45. We talked about it. Jesus is talking to us. So this lawyer then answered one of the lawyers and said, Master, I'm thus saying thou reproachest us also. So if you feel like your toes are getting stepped on this morning, it's purposeful. Because Jesus is wanting to step on your toes. He's wanting your heart to be moved. He's wanting you to understand this. Yes, I'm speaking to you too. I don't think there's anybody in this room that this message cannot impact your heart and say, I just want to be a humble Christian that loves God. I don't want to make it about me. I don't want to make it about the rules. I want to make it about Jesus Christ. And when we love him, what will result when we love him? Jalea, you know this. When we truly love the Lord, what will be the result? Yes, of course, we'll obey him. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. You see, that's the result of loving Christ. But if we get it backwards and we become commandment experts, then guess what? We're not focused on Christ, we're focused on the commandments. You focus on Christ, you'll obey him. If Christianity is becoming difficult, it's probably because you've gotten your focus off of Christ and you've gotten it on the commandments. I want you to see this. Look at verse 46. He says, woe unto you also, ye lawyers, for you laid men with burdens grievous to be borne, and ye yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. We love exercising authority versus humble submission to God. We love telling everybody else what they're doing wrong. Moms and dads, I want you to listen to this. Your jobs are to teach your children about God, to teach your children the Bible, and to correct your children when they're wrong. But I will tell you this, you've got a tiger by the tail. Be careful, moms and dads, that you just don't like telling your kids what's right, and then you don't do it yourself. That's true hypocrisy. I can see what your trouble is, Damien, and my trouble's way worse. See, that's a hypocrite. There's a place in Christianity for rebuke and for correction, but I want to tell you, the best place in Christianity is love, mercy, and grace. Mercy and grace ought to be the defining characteristics of our lives, not judgment and rebuke. You follow me? But when you begin to sour on the things of God, just listen to your heart. Are you starting to find fault with other people? Well, look at them. Look what they do. 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 You see, just take this message this morning. Something's not right in your heart. Something's not right in my heart. Those people that you're pointing at, they very well may be wrong. What do they need? They need love. They need kindness. They need mercy. They need a Christian that will forbear, and they need a Christian that will overlook their shortcomings. So just pay attention to your heart. Only you know this. I know of nothing going on. So, you know, when I point, people are thinking, so if I point, and somebody's like, he knew. No, I don't know anything, okay? It's this. I'm just telling you, my own weakness, I watch it in my heart. You know, I start talking in my own heart. Randall. And I'll just give you a little, this morning, and it wasn't Randall, by the way, but there's somebody in here, but I got over it, I got right with God. Somebody unplugged the baptistry on Friday night, and I found out this morning. Guys, your baptism this morning is going to be the coolest baptism you've ever been a part of in so many different ways. But I've got it heated up right now, it's getting heated up, but so I actually yelled. I was like, I can't believe it! I'm here, you know, like 7:30 this morning, and I'm like, ah, I'm so irritated. And so whoever unplugged it didn't plug it back in, because I know what you did. You unplugged it because you wanted to plug the trees in and have it all looking that good. But you unplugged a great plug, you didn't plug it back in. So anyway. It is, you know what I need to do? I'm over it. I was irritated, and I realized right away, and I said, I'm so mad, and I yelled, and I was like, oh, man, I just, you know, I'm by myself. And I was just like, you know what? Nobody did that on purpose, right? Nobody was trying to do anything. It's just part of life. You don't need to do. Just love. If you're the one that unplugged it, please let me know. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's just love one another. But did you see how I responded? No, you didn't. I did. I'm afraid it's on video. I never know what's being video. I'm like, and now you guys can go back. Let's find that. It is, you know, what we need to do is, I just need to submit to God, and what I said was okay. I'm going to plug it in now. I prayed, oh God, help that heater be a little hotter than normal. And it's good, right? Understand this. It's what we need is humility. Not going around, you better do this. You better do this. You better do this. No. We need one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. I want to show you just two more things, and then I'm done. And I've mentioned this. Without repentance, we will repeat our father's sins. I want to walk you through this. Look at verse 47. Woe unto you, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. So they killed Isaiah. They killed Jeremiah. They killed all of these prophets. And yet, they make a big deal about the tombstones of the prophets. They're like, Isaiah, what a great man. And their fathers, great grandfathers, killed Isaiah, sawed him in half. Shoo, 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 shoo. That's pretty rough, right? So look at verse 47. He said, woe unto you, for you build the sepulchers of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. And truly, you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers. And you know this. Your fathers killed the prophets, and you make so there were the sepulchers of the prophets, the tombstones of the prophets were well known. And he said, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchers. He said this, you know that your fathers killed them, and yet you still make a big deal about your father's sepulchers. It's one thing to remember the prophets that were used of God. It's another thing that they were still celebrating their lineage. And they were the ones that killed the prophets. Look at this in verse 49. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute. He said that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple, verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. It's interesting. When he mentions Zacharias, it would have been Zacharias the priest. And when Zacharias the priest, hear what he said. He said this, 2 Chronicles 24, you can go back and look at this later. He told the people, why do you transgress the commandment of the Lord? And he said, because you have forsaken the Lord. He will forsake you, and they stoned him. Right before he died, he said, this be required of you. And Jesus said this. He said, look at the end of verse 51, it shall be required of this generation. And look at the end of verse 52, and them that were may be required of this generation. At the end of verse 51, it may be required of this generation. It's this. Jesus said this, if you don't do something different, you're going to be just like your parents. The sins of your fathers passed from the second, the third, and the fourth generation. You see, we've got to truly turn from our sin and turn in faith to Christ, or we will repeat the sins of our fathers. And that's what he said here. They were going to do the same thing. Their fathers killed the prophets, and they still celebrated their tombstones. And he said, I'm going to prove to you, you'll do the same thing because you don't know me. If all you have is religion, it'll damn your soul. The devil loves religion. I want you to understand this. That's the price of hypocrisy. Oh, mom, oh, dad, do you really love Jesus? If not, your children will become just like you. Your children know who you really are. You see, I've learned my kids are older, and I want them to be in a better place. I want them to love the Lord, and I think they do, but I want them to love them better. But when I look at my children, I have to say, wow, my children are a reflection of my Christianity. And actually better than what I deserve. So while I'm hopeful that God will still move, I have to understand this. They are who I raised. And so will your children. If you're lukewarm about Jesus, at best your children will be lukewarm. If you're a difficult person when it comes to Jesus, your children will be difficult. If you are a person that all you're worried about is what people see and behind the scenes, you don't love Jesus, that's what your children will be because that's what they see. See, the price of hypocrisy is overwhelming. And the final thought here, he says this, verse 52, is kind of the capstone. He says, woe unto you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered. You see, if you don't know Christ, you're not helping others know Christ. you're either for him or you're against him. You're either helping people know Christ or you're hindering them from knowing Christ. There's no middle ground. So I challenge you with this. It will help me, it will help you, and it's only by the grace of God. Are you a help for people to know Christ, or are you a hindrance for people to know Christ? Look at verse 52 again. Woe unto you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves. It's this. You may be religious, but do you really know Christ? If you don't know Christ, then you're only hindering people from knowing him, because you can't help people know him until you know him. And if you don't know him, you're only hindering people. I challenge you with this. Are we helping people know Christ, or are we hindering them from knowing Christ? I talk to so many Christians. They go, well, I'm neither, Steve. People tell me that. I'm neither. I'll say, no. You're either helping or you're hurting. There's no neutrality in Christianity. So I want to tell you this. If you're not helping people know Christ, I will tell you, by default, you're hurting people from knowing Christ. But you understand this. What's the issue? You never knew him yourself. You see, what's the problem with hypocrisy? What's the problem? If I'm a hypocrite, that means I'm truly lost. If I'm a hypocrite, what makes me a hypocrite? I don't know Christ. But I'm trying to represent that I love God. You see, a true hypocrite, you've got enough religion, but you don't really know Christ. You just got enough religion to send yourself to hell, but you don't know Christ. So if today all you are is religious, you're hurting people from knowing Christ. That's the outcome of hypocrisy. So I'm going to use the word hypocrisy, and I'll finish. When I'm not living right for Jesus Christ, whether it's secret sin or known sin, when I'm not living right, I'm a believer. God saved me. There's overwhelming evidence. I know I'm saved. And the reason I can say that, because it's all about Christ. The Bible says we can know that we're saved. That's not me being cocky. That's just me saying God has proven himself to me that he saved me. Salvation's not difficult. Do you want to know Christ? Do you want Christ to be your Savior? He will. And then he'll give you the evidence. But when I'm not walking with God, you know what I'm doing? I'm hindering the knowledge of Christ. When I'm not doing what's right, I'm not helping the knowledge of Christ. You see, if you're a hypocrite, you're in major trouble today because you're lost. But oh, Christian, if you have hypocrisy, if you make it all about you, and all you're worrying about is the outside, and yet the inside is just wickedness, then you're hurting the cause of Christ. If all you're worried about is the praise of men, and I want the preeminence of men, then you're hurting the cause of Christ. If all you're worrying about is the rules, and you've forgotten about Jesus Christ, then you're hurting the cause of Christ. You see, why does anything matter in life? It's the honor of Christ. It's all about Christ. We need to examine every day. Did I live for Jesus today? Did I honor Christ today? And how did I not? And so then we go back to this. Boy, am I glad God loves me. Because on my days I utterly fail. You know what I love? That he loves me, Randall. That he hasn't forsaken me. That he won't forsake me. That he loves me. I ought to be honest with myself. Did I live hypocritically today? Or did I live to the honor of Christ? And then if I do live for the honor of Christ, by God's grace, I will help people know him. I'm either hindering people from knowing him, or I'm helping people know him. Which is it? You can't give what you don't have. See, the Pharisees, they were empty. All they had was religion, and that's all they gave people. They gave them rules. They gave them the to-dos. You better tithe on the mint. They wouldn't help a stranger if it was the last thing they did. You see, it's, do you know Christ? We can talk about the weaknesses of the flesh, and they're all there. But the issue is, I'm not focused on Christ. First question is, do you really know him? And then just ask the Lord. Say, Lord, help me that I won't hinder people from knowing you, but I'll help people to know you.